today. We want to welcome you this morning. Truly mean that. I'm glad that you're here. Man, those that are joining us live stream, we're thankful for you today as well. Praise God. Amen. We're going to dismiss our nursery now, ages 2 through 5. Amen. Are dismissed to go downstairs. Amen. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and get right into the Word this morning. Are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe we ought to worship. You know that. And I believe that worship is essential. And I believe that worshiping and us coming together and doing as we've just done creates an atmosphere and has a purpose and a place. But, you know, sometimes there's been a song that's got me through. Amen. There's been words to a song that has got me through. There's been times, amen, that I've worshiped my way through. Amen. But I will tell you, when everything else, amen, is against you and nothing else, amen, will bring you through, it's the Word of God that's going to establish you. It's the Word of God that's going to be with you, that's going to take and keep your heart steady. Amen. Praise God. So I'm thankful for the Word. Praise God again. Welcome everybody today. Amen. We're thankful for you, our wife, my wife and I. We love you today. Appreciate you. But we're going to go, amen, to Genesis chapter 4. Genesis chapter 4. If you have a Bible there, if you don't, amen, maybe you have it on your phone. If not, we'll have it on the screen. But when everybody has found it, either way, stand for the reading of the Word of God today. Again, we're thankful for everybody that's here, amen. Thankful for those that are, amen, will be baptized after service. So to those of you, amen, again, that will stay with us, amen, meet us downstairs after service. Give us just a minute. You'll be down there, amen. Get ready to baptize, amen. Genesis chapter 4 ought to be easy to find. It's the first book in the Bible, amen. Praise God. Genesis chapter 4, we're going to go to verse 8. Read about 7 or 8 scriptures there this morning, amen. Praise God, praise God. Certainly, certainly, amen, thankful to be in his house today, to have my right mind, to be clothed, amen. Praise God, just to be able to be here. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, everybody have it, say amen.
Amen.
And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of thy brother's blood cries unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Amen. They're going to blast these shofars. Amen. For the Word, we want you to give the Lord praise today for his Word. Amen. Praise God. Come on, let's bless him. Amen. Before we get into his Word. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord all the time. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You may be seated. And if the Lord will allow me today, I want to minister on this thought, simply marked for mercy. Amen. Marked for mercy. Look at your neighbor and say, marked for mercy. Amen. Marked for mercy. Praise God. God's original intention for mankind was to be blessed.
Amen. God's original intention for man, not only to be blessed, but to be fruitful and to multiply. We can see in the book of Genesis, in the beginning, amen, in the chapter preceding, amen, that it was his intention, amen, that mankind be blessed. The Bible even says that he made man in his own image. I think it's, amen, amazing that God created us, amen, and he gave us two things, amen, that belong to him. First, he gave us his breath, and then he made us in his image. Can I tell you that God wants to be in relationship with you? He would not have gave you his breath and gave you his image, amen, had he not desired, amen, had something planned for you. The Bible tells us that he gave himself to Adam in relationship, that he gave, amen, to Adam a relationship with him. So he created Adam, he created him, put his breath in him, amen, and he made him in his image, and then he gave Adam a relationship with him, amen. But we know the Bible tells us that sin happened. We know that God, out of Adam, he brought Eve, amen. So everything that Adam needed was already in him, and out of Adam's rib, God gave him Eve, which was his wife, the Bible says, which was a helpmeet. Amen. Praise God. But we know, praise the Lord, that they sinned. We know that Eve was beguiled by the serpent. Amen. And she took advantage, amen, of the lie of the serpent. And Adam followed suit. So we know that, amen, that sin came in, it happened. And then, praise God, sin happened, and God said, I'm not finished yet. Hallelujah, praise God, but he gave his only begotten son, a man named Jesus, to give his life and to shed his blood, so what? So that we could continue to have a relationship with him, amen. So God just keeps on giving. Hallelujah. Amen. And we know that Jesus went back to heaven. See, it wasn't enough that Jesus just came to man. It wasn't enough, amen, that Jesus brought forgiveness of sins and that his atonement, amen, brought us into a right relationship with the Lord. That Jesus met every requirement for the atonement of sin. Hallelujah. But he went back to heaven. Amen. So that he could come. So the Holy Spirit could now come, amen, and empower us, hallelujah, to be able to live in this relationship and to maintain that relationship until either death or until, amen, he comes in eternity. So God, hallelujah, has set in place a plan and a purpose for mankind. It's interesting that it only took three chapters for man to mess up. Only took three chapters as we perceive it, amen. As Moses gives us, it only took three chapters for man to mess up. Genesis chapter 1, man's domain was created. God created man's domain, earth. Chapter 2, man is created himself. Chapter 3, man falls to sin. Chapter 4 in Genesis, man kills somebody. Chapter 5, there's only one righteous that can be found in all the earth, and his name was Noah. By chapter 6, God said, I got to get rid of all of them. I got to get rid of everything. They're destroying the earth. Amen. They're taking, amen, sin to the next level. Hallelujah. And so you understand, praise God, it's interesting. Amen. That God, hallelujah, it just took a few chapters for that to take place. And the Bible tells us, amen, we see in chapter 5, we've done an extensive study on the days of Noah. Amen. But it says in chapter 5, amen, gives us the timeline of Noah and tells us all of the things, amen, that brought Noah to the place that he found grace and favor in the eyes of the Lord. And Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples about this very time that we are living in right now, Jesus was talking to his disciples about the end of times. And if you did not know it, if you do not understand that we are living in the end of times, there is, amen, an end that must come to all that is happening and that has taken place in the earth. But Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in these days that we are living now. Amen. And so I think it's imperative, amen, that we mention right here about the days of Noah. Amen. Look at somebody and say, you're marked for mercy. Amen. You're marked for mercy. Just say with me, I'm just laying a foundation. Hallelujah. But I think, amen, that it is imperative. It behooves me as a preacher, as a pastor, to just reiterate and bring you, amen, into enlighten you if you are not already enlightened. Amen. That we can look at today and see, amen, that we are in troubled times. How many will say with me that we are in some troubling times? Amen. We can look around and things are heating up politically, and it's creating an atmosphere of disunity, an atmosphere of dread. People are divided. Amen. The world is in constant turmoil. Middle East hostilities have ramped up and they're ramping up. If you don't know this, please understand that the hostilities in the Middle East are ramping up to the point, amen, that any day now a larger scale war could break out in the Middle East. Hallelujah. Russia now talking, amen, and with Iran. These things happening against, praise God, Israel and God's people. And so understand that any day now a larger war could break out. And do we have to mention the elephant in the room? The obvious weather patterns that are happening in all the earth. Jesus said there will be earthquakes in diverse places, pestilences, famine, wars, the rumors of war. But I want us to look in Luke 21, verses 25 through 26. Jesus said this, speaking about the times that we are living in now, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Can I tell you that it was the same thing in the days of Noah? The people, that scripture says, amen, that men's hearts are failing for fear because they're paying attention to what's coming on the earth. See, there's a difference, amen, when you know the Lord Jesus with the Lord, because when we see these things as such we're seeing now, we don't look around at all those things and it causes us fear. We're told to look up because our redemption is coming close. Somebody help me in this place. I'm just laying a foundation before we get in to what God has. See, when you read the word of God in Genesis, the Bible says that the people of the world were oblivious until the flood came and took them away. Amen. Only those, amen, Noah and his family had their eyes on what the Lord was saying, that a flood was coming. Amen. And it was imperative that they be prepared for that flood. So while the signs are for the world, I believe that they're more specifically for God's people. It's for us to know, hallelujah, that we must stay prepared, that we must not allow ourselves to get distracted by all of the things that have no eternal value, all of the squabbling and all of the things that will not hold any weight in eternity. We must not allow ourselves to get pulled away and caught up in the ways of the world. So these signs are telling us, amen, that Jesus is coming. Amen. See, we got to understand that the Bible says, Jesus said, go back to verse 25 if you would. Amen. That Jesus said, there be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and upon the earth, the distress of nations. Can I tell you, everybody has their thoughts and their ideas on how and why things are happening, especially with the weather. Here's the thing. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how or why they're happening. What matters is that God is allowing them to take place. He said that these things would happen and it would cause great distress. These events are meant to promote distress. Come on, somebody help me. Because we got to get our eyes on what matters. We got to know in whom we serve. See, that word distress, as it's translated here, it conveys the idea of being constricted. It conveys the idea of being forced into a certain way. Amen. It's literally a narrow way. It's the same Greek word. Amen. Sunoke. It's the Greek word sunoke. That's translated also to mean straight. Hallelujah. So it's literally hemming you in. So what's happening is all of these things are taking place, and it's making everyone feel, amen, constricted and surrounded. It's causing them, amen, it provokes anxiety and doubt in the sense that there's no escaping this dilemma. Hallelujah, praise God. Do you understand that? You can only go so far when the earth, amen, is sending water and floods and all of these things. Amen. You can only run to certain places. Are you with me today? Hallelujah. We're not exempt. I think we saw a couple weeks ago, amen, that no one is exempt from the effects of what is happening in the earth. Jesus said that this would overwhelm people so much that they would lose heart from fear. That they would literally swoon at the thoughts of what's going on. I've said it, amen, for the last couple of weeks. You can feel it in the spirit.
Yeah. Right.
You can feel the weight of what's happening in the world in the spirit. There's nothing that has my joy. I got the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. It doesn't come from the things of this world. It doesn't come from what I can do. It comes from the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah, but my joy is being tried. Come on, somebody. You can feel the weight and the anxiety that is in the air. But I want you to understand something. He also said, we'll be back there to Luke chapter 21, verses, amen, verse 25. Hallelujah, praise God. He said that these things would begin to distress the people of the world. Remember, it would make them feel like they're hemmed in, like they have no control over this dilemma. There's no way, amen, of escaping what's happening. Hallelujah. But he also said that there would be a loud noise, a loud roaring noise coming from the sea that was caused by the swelling waves as the water is being agitated. Does that sound familiar to anybody? You say, well, hurricanes have been around for years. Yes, they have. Hallelujah. But he also said that the forces in the atmosphere, hallelujah, will become agitated as God allows things to proceed in order to shake heaven and earth. And see, I know hurricanes are not uncommon, and this is the hurricane season, but the patterns and the intensity and the repetitiveness are uncommon. So we have to look at the sound and the noise coming from the sea, lining up, amen, with all the other things that we're seeing. This has to let us know that God is getting our attention. See, right now, I think it was September 29th, I think, somewhere around there, but amen, going through for several weeks, the appearance of the what is called the T. Cornei Borealis. It's also called the Star of Jacob, which is referenced in Numbers 24 and 17. Some are calling it an asteroid. I don't care what you call it. It's appearing, amen, right now, and the Bible speaks of it, and it's happening at the same time all of these other things are happening. So guess what? I believe this is yet another sign. Amen, the star of Jacob. Hallelujah. Isn't it interesting? I want you to see this word son here. This is not my message. I'm just laying a foundation. This word son here, amen, is the Greek word helios. Now, in Greek mythology, helios is the name of the god of the sun, the S-U-N. But I think it's interesting that the name Helen is derived from the word helios. The French version of Helen is Helene. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Hallelujah. I'm not saying anything, not prophesying, but I'm telling you what. You can't, amen, ignore what you see. So there's signs coming. Amen, they're here as it was in the days of Noah. What did God do in the days of Noah? He covered the water, the earth, with water. Why would he cover the earth with water? I believe he was taking it back to how it was in Genesis 1.
In the beginning, come on now.
In the beginning, the world, the earth was covered with water, and the Spirit of the Lord brooded over the water. It hovered. And God said, let there be light. And God separated, amen, the water from the earth, amen, and the water in the heavens. And he put a sky, amen, he put a dome in between the water in the heavens and the water in the earth. Hallelujah. Are you with me? I believe that God said, I need to have a fresh start. But what did he do when the flood waters, amen, lifted and Noah found himself in the ark on top of Mount Ararat? Hallelujah. When the waters begin to recede and they begin to dry up, hallelujah, God gave a sign in the heavens. Hallelujah. It was a bow. We call it a rainbow. And he said, never will I destroy the world by water again. Well, somebody better help me in this place. Hallelujah. Why? Because when it happens the next time, we're going to have a new earth. Amen. According to the book of Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth. Come on, somebody, do you hear me? But he gave man a sign of covenant. Listen to me. Amen. He's going to take it back like he was before. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and God found them. Hallelujah. That serpent which we know is the devil. Hallelujah. God prophesied in the garden. He told that serpent, there's going to be a seed that's going to come from Eve that is going to destroy you and your works. There's going to be a seed come from the woman. Hallelujah. You're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. Hallelujah. Somebody better help me in this place. Hallelujah. Oh, are you with me? Amen. Can I tell you what that is? That is a glimpse of mercy. That right there is a glimpse of mercy. We see mercy everywhere in the Old Testament. Places where you shouldn't see mercy. God had mercy on people that I probably wouldn't have mercy on. That's why the Bible says he'll have mercy on whom he will. He's the one that judges. At the end of the day, he knows. Hallelujah. But we see mercy all throughout the Old Testament. Hallelujah. We see unexpected mercy. Amen. What is mercy? It's undeserved. Hallelujah. I did not do anything to deserve God's mercy. But because he loved me, he had mercy on me and said, I know that there's nothing he can do, but I'll make a recompense. I'll bring a sacrifice. Come on. The blood of Jesus. Amen. Now, if he'll believe in that, then by grace, he'll be saved. And that grace is favor, it's blessing. Hallelujah. And then I'll give him favor. Hallelujah. If he believes what I've done. So mercy Mercy undeserved. You know the Bible says an eye for an eye. A lot of folks today use that. What's God saying there? God is saying, amen, if you have to get revenge in your fallen state, amen, if you have to get revenge in your fallen state, he said you can't get retribution for more than an eye. Okay. So if I put that in heavenly terms, if somebody took your eye, all you can take is another eye, not their life. It's an eye for an eye. So can I tell you that that's mercy? Hallelujah, that's mercy. He said, you cannot step over the line that if they just took an eye, then what you can take is an eye. But you cannot, amen, take their life. If they hurt your eye, you can't take their life. Amen, it's a line that you can't cross. Can I tell you that's mercy? Aren't you thankful, amen, for mercy today? Praise God that I don't have to pay the penalty for the sin and the wretch that I was. Hallelujah. Yes. Stay with me. But you see, our fallen nature always wants to go beyond the limit.
Come on.
We always want to go beyond that. But mercy says, this is as far as you can go. And so, if we look, I got a reason for saying everything that I'm saying. Because when we look in Genesis chapter 4, we find the story of Cain and Abel, which were Adam and Eve's sons. Remember the ones that had sinned and had been driven out of the garden, right? The one that, amen, that God prophesied and said, out of her seed shall come one that will crush you and your works. Mercy. That's mercy. But Cain and Abel, we know that Cain was a worker of the ground. Amen. And Abel was a worker of the field. Amen. The flocks. And the Bible says that there came a day when they brought their sacrifices unto God for worship. The Bible tells us that Abel brought the sacrifice with blood. Amen. But here's the catch. Abel brought the firstborn of the flock. Hallelujah. He brought the firstborn of the flock unto God. Cain brought the fruit of the ground. Cain just brought any, amen, product of the harvest. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, amen. See, here's the difference in Cain and Abel. Abel brought the first fruits of what he did. See, the Bible tells us, amen, that we are to bring our first fruits to God. It's the first of everything. If we give God the first of everything in our life, hallelujah, that he will bless us, right? He will, amen, honor his word and his covenant, amen. And so Abel brought the firstborn, amen, but Cain brought the leftover worship. I will preach on there this morning, but God don't want your leftover worship. He wants your first worship unto him and nothing else. He doesn't want your worship, amen, to be on anything, any other person, any other thing in the world. But he wants you, amen, your first and foremost worship to be unto him. Amen. So Cain brought, amen, that leftover worship. And the Bible says that God honored Abel's sacrifice because it was the first fruit. But he did not honor Cain's. And so the Bible tells us that Cain got angry and he killed Abel. Hallelujah. He knew he couldn't kill God. Amen. It really wasn't Abel's fault. He was just jealous. Amen. That Abel got the attention of God. But the Bible says that he killed Abel. And now because he killed Abel, the Bible says that he was cursed from the earth. Amen. The Bible says that the blood of Abel was crying out from the ground for retribution. Are you with me? Hallelujah. What is it? Amen. An eye for an eye. Hallelujah. It says that, oh, come on, somebody. If they hurt an eye, that's all you can take is an eye. But Cain took Abel's life. Hallelujah. And now his blood was crying out from the ground. And now, amen, Cain says, I'm a fugitive. I'm a vagabond. Amen. And from the face of God, I'm going to be hid. He said, from the face of the earth, I'm going to be a man restricted. God told him that you would be a man, a fugitive and a vagabond, and that the earth was not going to bring forth what it should have brought forth. And Cain told God, I can't deal with this. He said, I'm going to be hid from your face. My punishment is more than I can bear. See, he understood the law of retribution. Cain understood a life for a life. But God said this to Cain. I want you, we focus so much on Cain's sin, but I want to look at a different perspective this morning. Are you still with me today? I'm not going to keep you too much longer. Hallelujah. But God said this to Cain. He said, Cain, I know that you mess up. And no matter how much anyone hates you, Cain said, everybody is going to hate me and they're going to want to kill me. But God said to Cain, listen, son, I know you messed up. I know you just flew off with your emotions and you let your emotions get the best of you and you did what you cannot take back. He said, but listen, no matter how much anyone hates you, no matter how much anyone wants to kill you, why, hallelujah, he said, I will put a mark on you, and they cannot destroy you. He said, no matter how much you mess up, no matter what you did in your past, no matter what it is that troubles you, no matter what your struggle is, he said, Cain, I put a mark on you, and they will not be able to destroy you. Can I tell you, it was a mark of mercy. He was having mercy on Cain, and even though Cain deserved to die, even though Cain deserved to be punished, God said, I'm not going to let you be destroyed. I come this morning to tell somebody in this house, I don't care what you did in your past, I don't care what you've done, how much you messed up, how much you have given and taken away, you are marked for mercy. And God said, I will not allow the enemy to destroy your life. Anybody that understands you're marked for mercy, you need to shout in this house today. He said, no matter what your past is, and no matter what the enemy says.
Amen.
You know how many times the enemy, that snake, probably said to Cain, look at you, take your own brother's life. How can you even face? Come on, somebody.
Amen.
Shame is a big thing.
Yes.
Guilt is a real thing.
Yes.
With it comes condemnation. Guilt will condemn you to the worst case scenario, the worst punishment that is deserving of what you are guilty of. But after Jesus died and gave his life, rose from the dead, and is now seated back in heaven next to the Father, the Word says there is that now, therefore now, no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to hear that today. He said, Cain, I've marked you with mercy, you're mine.
Amen.
I've marked you with mercy, Cain. Mine. Although you deserve to die, you're marked with mercy. Although you're deserving, and your brother's blood cries from the ground, vengeance, revenge, I will not let anyone take your life.
No matter how far you went in sin, he said, I've marked you with mercy. See, there's some of you here that should have been dead. Some of you should have been dead with some of the things you've done. That overdose should have taken some of you out. That overdose should have killed you. That alcohol and all of that, the things that you've done, it should have took you out. But God said, hallelujah, the enemy was not allowed to take you out. Somewhere you are marked for mercy. I told you before, when I walked away, tried to walk away from the goodness of God, and I found myself in a bar. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit followed me in that bar. I couldn't even enjoy sin. I couldn't even enjoy. Hallelujah. I tried to get intoxicated. I tried to get drunk. 7-8 mixed drinks. And I was as sober as I am right now. Probably more than I am right now. Because I'm pushing 60. Hallelujah. Praise me, man. I'm a little delirious. Man, but I could not get intoxicated. Why? Because I was marked for mercy. And God said to that demonic spirit of addiction, you can't have him. You can't take him out. He's marked for mercy. I need somebody to help me. If you ever found yourself down at the depths of despair and only by mercy, you are here this morning. You got to understand it's simply because God did not allow you to be taken out. The enemy wants each and every one of us. He wants your children. He wants your house. He wants your family. That's why he's raging like he is now. That's why we cannot get distracted by the mess that's in the world. But we got to keep our eyes on heaven. You're only here because mercy has allowed you to be here. Some of you were in car accidents that should have taken you out, should have killed you, but they didn't because you're marked for mercy. You're marked for mercy. God said they're mine, and you can't have them. Hallelujah. I feel that in the depths of my belly this morning. I don't know who he's talking to. See, that's why we can stand while all of this is going on, this chaos and this uncertainty and this war and these tragedies and this, amen, these weather, amen, occurrences. We can stand and know that if we remain faithful, the enemy cannot, he cannot take us out. Why? Because we are marked for mercy. I tell you something, we've all killed the evils in our lives. Yes. We've all killed the things that bring real worship.
Yeah. Amen.
I said we've all somewhere along the line killed the things that mattered most to God. Yeah. Come on, somebody. Yeah. But we're marked for mercy. We're marked for mercy. Let me tell you something. Cain was not remembered for his wrongdoing, but he was remembered by his mark. Now, there's a lot of theologians, a lot of scholars that fuss and squabble over what the mark was. I personally don't give a hoot. It doesn't matter to me. Some say it's a physical, it was a scar, it was a tattoo. I don't know so much about that. Some say that it was just provision and protection over Cain, that when any enemy tried to take him out, that the Lord stepped in and intervened and somehow, some way kept him from happening. And I like that one better than the tattoo or the scar.
Amen.
Right.
That just gives God a little bit more glory.
That's right.
Come on, somebody. I said that one just gives God more glory. Hallelujah. Do you know how many times that you have entertained, amen, destruction and death and didn't even know it? Hallelujah. But because you're marked for mercy, the hand of God came down and stood in between you and that destruction. Hallelujah. You know how many times, just by minutes, you have missed amen, a tragedy or an accident. That's because you're marked for mercy. Do you know how many times that you, doesn't matter how many times we let our families down, hallelujah, mercy will let us be spared. I don't know who he's talking to today. If you, if you go on to look, Lamech, which was in the bloodline of Cain, Lamech killed a young man because he wounded him. Now you catch what he did? He should have just wounded him and not killed him. But he said, if Cain can be avenged 7 times, then I can be avenged 70 times. So he didn't remember what Cain did, but he remembered the mark on Cain. Come on, are you with me? Are you understanding me? What I'm trying to tell you. See, here's the thing. That mark was greater than any mess or mistake. That mark of mercy that is on your life, who am I talking to today, is greater than any mess that you've created out of your own flesh and your own wrong and bad decisions.
Amen. Good word.
Out of all your mistakes and your failures, that mark of mercy is greater than any of those things. Look at your neighbor and say, it's greater than your mess. It's greater than your mess. See, when God, here's what you got to understand. When God puts a mark on you, it's just not about the past.
Come on.
It's not just about covering you from, keeping you from getting punishment for what you've done in the past, but it's also about the future. It's not just about the past, but it's also about the future. See, God said, I didn't want Cain to die in the condemnation and the guilt. You see, hallelujah, he said, I did not want Cain to die, because it wasn't just about what he had done, but it was about what he was going to do. Why would God put a mark of mercy on a murderer? Why would God put a mark on a murderer? This is Jeff's commentary. You can take it or leave it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't alter our faith and salvation. Are you with me? So that's my nice place that I can swamp with you about it. But I believe that it was because Cain played a crucial role in the plan of God. He played a crucial role. See, God needed something to come out of Cain. He needed Cain because there was going to be something come out of him. See, you think God spared your life because your mom's prayers, and I'm not discounting that at all, because my mom's prayers, she's been gone now for over 5 years, amen, and her prayers are still being answered. So I'm not discounting that. I believe, amen, that's part of that mark of mercy. Amen. Praise God. You think that God spared you? Amen. But listen, he didn't spare you just because he loves you. That would be enough. But there's something that God sees about your future that he wants to bring out of you. That if he would have let you die in that condemnation and that guilt, that it would have never come out of your life. And when it comes out of your life, it's going to give him glory. Somebody hear me in this place. Hallelujah. He could have let Cain go. Now, come on, do you understand that? Praise God. But he said, I've got something that I need to bring out of him. Hallelujah. Amen. You can look in Genesis chapter 4 and verse 21. The Bible tells us, amen, that Cain ended up having a grandson. His grandson's name was Jubal. Jubal invented the harp and the flute. Hallelujah. Can I tell you that the harp was used to play the songs and the worship unto God? Now, first thing that came out of Cain was Enoch. And we know that Enoch walked with God, and then he was not. So Enoch, out of Cain came Enoch, who had a relationship, who brought brought us Methuselah. Amen. Which brings us the kingly bloodline. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Those things would have never happened had God said, go ahead and kill him. But God said, I see something in him that he doesn't see. God, I need somebody to hear me today. And those of you that are sitting here in your guilt, your shame, some of you even in your sin, feeling like that there's no way that God can forgive you for what you've done, for what you've said. He has sent me with a word from heaven. I was sick as a dog yesterday. I didn't have a word at all. Wasn't even sure I was going to be able to stand up this morning. But God gave me this word when I rose this morning. And so I know that somebody in this house needs to know that it doesn't matter how deep, how wide, how far you have went. Hallelujah. God has got you marked for mercy. And there's something inside of you that is yet to be burned. And you may feel worthless. You may feel hopeless. You may feel like you've messed up too many times. But if you're still here, it's because you're marked for mercy. Despite his sin, God saw something coming out of him, even when the enemy said he should die. He said, die. But God saw something in him that is greater for his plan. Can I tell you that every other stringed instrument that is comes from the harp? The harp is the first stringed instrument that is mentioned in the Word of God. So every other stringed instrument that is played and that is people can use their gifts and talents is because of the harp. Hallelujah. Can I tell you something? Can I talk a little spiritual with you right now? Hallelujah. Praise God, because I believe there's some hearts in some of you this morning. Amen. And the enemy wants to keep them. Amen. Wants to keep you secluded. Wants to keep you feeling like you're stuck. But there's a mark of mercy on your life. And God said, I need you to rise up. And I need you to understand that I've got more for you than what you're living right now. I've got better for you than what you're experiencing right now. Do you remember every time David played the harp, it took him into the presence of God? Every time that he played the harp, David would have never had the harp to play had Cain not been spared. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Because he saw something in Cain. Hallelujah. Amen. And every time David would play, hallelujah, see, it was used to drive out evil spirits. Remember Saul? When he was tormented by demons, David would come in, play his harp. The Bible calls it a lyre, L-Y-R-E, not a just in case you struggle with the grammar there. A liar. Amen? Hallelujah. And every time David would play in the presence of those demonic spirits, what would happen? They would leave. You see what's in you that God sees? He sees something in you that can cause the enemy to scatter from your life. He sees a worship in you. Amen? That the enemy wants to kill and wants to squash. I think it's interesting that when you look at this word evil, when it's speaking about these evil spirits, when you look at this word evil, it's translated in the Hebrew as distressed spirits. What did Jesus say is going to come upon the people of this earth? Distress. What's going to drive it out?
Mercy.
getting in the presence of the Lord. But you can't get in the presence of the Lord if you don't understand that you got mercy. Come boldly, right? Come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find that grace to help us in our time of need. See, you got something in you. Look at your neighbor. See, you got a heart in you. You say, well, that sounds kind of odd. So does dying in your guilt and condemnation. But you're marked with mercy. See, there's a heart coming out of your chaos.
Amen.
See, God's not done yet. We're still here. We are still here.
That's right.
Listen, I'm not helping Jesus. I'm not going to say anything else about my thoughts and what I think about being here. Still being here right now, amen. And the shift not happening, amen, in the atmosphere. So he's not done with us being here. So guess what? There's going to be more roaring sounds coming from the ocean and the sea. There's going to be more signs in the heaven, in the stars, in the sun, and the moon. There's going to be more of all of these things that are going to take place. And what do these things do? They're going to provoke distress. So we got to understand that there's a harp coming out of your chaos.
Amen.
There's a harp coming. What did David do? David learned to play the harp. You know where I believe he learned to play the harp? Out in the field when he was tending sheep and was a nobody. Was covered with guilt and shame. See, a lot of folks don't know the history. We've preached it before, but I just feel it's just still to say it again this morning. See, you've got to understand, David was, according to history, David was the illegitimate son of Jesse. Jesse had David with another woman. And so he hid David in the field. David was a product of guilt and shame and condemnation. But when Samuel came to David, to Jesse's house, oh, hallelujah. And he said, God told him, he said, Samuel, you're going to anoint the king out of the house of Jesse. Hallelujah. Jesse had some sons that were big and brawny, warriors trained. They could wear the armor. Hallelujah. And God said, nope, that's not him. That's not him. He went through six of those sons and said, God said, nope, that's not him. And Samuel said to Jesse, you got another son? Well, yeah. We don't let him sit at the table. David wasn't allowed to sit at the table with the family and eat. David was left out in the field to tend the sheep. David smelled like dung. But as he laid out there and he looked at the stars in the heavens, David began to talk to God, the creator of the stars, and began to write psalms and songs. I believe it's out there that David, oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Amen. Would take a harp. Amen. It wasn't a big harp like we have now. It was just a small instrument. I believe David took that and began to play those melodies and he began to sing, amen, those psalms unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Just a product of guilt and shame. As far as Jesse was concerned, he was dead to the family. But God said, I've got him marked for mercy. Hallelujah. Because before Dave was ever born, there was a whore and a prostitute named Rahab who was in Jericho. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. And the scarlet thread rescued her and saved her. And from her bloodline came David. Come on, somebody. And from David came the Messiah. Are you with me? But Samuel said, is there another son? He said, yeah, there's one. He's just a young boy. He's out in the field. He said, go get him. And when David come in, amen, covered with the dirt of the field, smelling like sheep dung. Hallelujah. God said, that's the one. Can I tell you this morning, you may feel like you are rejected. And maybe you've been cast out of your family because of what you've done. Maybe you have been forsaken by a lot. But I've come to tell somebody that God is not finished with you yet. You are marked something inside of you. My Lord, somebody, hear me today.
Amen. Good word.
The storm that we're going through, and I don't mean natural, I'm talking spiritual. There's a heart coming out of that storm. Prophet Elisha in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 3. He couldn't hear from the Lord. And he said, go get me a minstrel. A minstrel was a harp player. He said, go get me somebody to play the harp. And the Bible says when that minstrel came in and began to play that harp, that the hand of God came upon Elisha. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? There's something in you, see, because that mark for mercy is just not to overlook or to forgive or to squash, amen, and give you a second chance from your past. But it's because there's something in your future that is in the plan of God. There's something greater in you. Oh, somebody better hear me. Hallelujah. And the hand of God came upon Elisha. Can I tell you that God does not see you through your mistakes? God does not filter who you are through your mistakes. Now the world will. People will. They see you, they filter what they see through what they know that you've done. Come on, somebody. But God doesn't look at you through your mistakes. He sees you through the mark. Mercy. We used to sing that song, Mercy Came Running. Like a prisoner set free. Hallelujah. God doesn't look at you. When you look in the mirror, you see what you see. But God sees you through the mark of mercy. Who? Listen now. You got to be careful. Because the New Testament writers spoke about Cain. And they said, you got to be careful of the way of Cain. Don't get revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay. The New Testament writer said, don't be imitating Cain's behavior. But I was thinking about this morning. They didn't say anything about his mark. They didn't say nothing about his mark. See, because here's what you got to understand. That mark of mercy is because God has given you a second chance. And God has and I say this in understanding, overlooking your past and your mistakes. We know that they can be forgiven. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And God foregoes retribution and has mercy. See, that mark of mercy isn't justification for sin. Mm-hmm.
Come on.
So just because you got that mark of mercy, doesn't mean you can just do what you want to.
Right.
See, here's the thing about that mark. See, they said that don't be following, don't be doing what Cain did. Don't imitate his behavior, but they never said anything about the mark. Because the mark is not a justification for sin, but it's a pull upward.
Come on.
Right.
It's a drawing upward to God and to a right relationship with Him. So that mark of mercy, God expunging your record, the record of your past, isn't to say, go ahead and just do whatever you want to. You can sin and just follow whatever because you got mercy, mark for mercy. And no matter when it comes, you're going to be rescued and saved. That's what we're talking about. That mark of mercy says, if you mess up, it means that you don't have to stay there.
Come on, help me.
It means that he's pulling you upward to a closer relationship with him. That's what's happening now. And what's going on in the earth. Oh, listen to me, friend. It's going to intensify. Things are going to get worse. They're saying there's another hurricane forming right now. Somewhere out in the Gulf. There's one out there somewhere named Leslie.
Yeah.
Lord, you could, some of you could preach about that. None of your first thought is, oh, we ain't coming with that one. Thank God you're marked for mercy. But they're saying there's another one. He even talks of another one behind that one. But they're saying that they're not literally not going to be out of the danger zone for the hurricane season until the November 30th. Till the end of November. So there's going to be more happening. There's going to be more coming. You can rest assured of that. But see, there's a pull upward. Because we've been marked for mercy. And God said, I don't want the devil to destroy you. You don't have to stay here. See, some of you came in here today in a fallen state.
Amen.
I'm sure of it in my spirit that some of you came in here today in a fallen state. And when I say a fallen state, I don't mean just unrepentant or not don't have a relationship, not born again. But I'm talking about you're down. Things have taken you down. And you feel like there's no use to get up and try again. But the Holy Spirit has sent me this morning to tell you that you're marked for mercy. And when the enemy said, you deserve to die. When the enemy said, you're not worthy. God said, they're mine. They belong to me. And they're marked for mercy. The Bible says, John saw in the book of Revelation, when John saw the new Jerusalem, the new city, and he saw all of the things that he saw, he said, I saw God's people and they were marked. They had a seal upon their forehead. So a lot of preachers preach that Cain's mark was on his forehead. Again, I don't know, and I honestly don't care. I just know that I'm marked for mercy. And every day that I wake up, the pull upward is drawing me to come closer to him because of that mercy. David said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the household of God forever. I don't believe mercy just follows me. I believe it precedes me. It goes before me.
Amen.
So however that mark is known, when the enemy comes in and tries to destroy, God steps in somehow, some way, and says, nope. He'll do it for your prodigal children as they get ready to come to the music. He'll do it for your husband. Some of you got spouses that you just about given up. Even though God's given you words of promise, you just about given up. Because the last time you even remotely talked to them about coming to church, they were a devil. Right? You could see the enemy would want you to think that he has the last word. But I'm come this morning to tell somebody, Cain deserved to die. He took a life. Abel's blood was crying from the ground. Revenge. Avenge my life. And Cain said, I can't suffer that punishment. It's too much for me to bear. I think that that I'm banished from the earth and I'm hidden from your face. Think of that. That mark gave Cain permission to be in the presence of God again. Hallelujah. Who is the Spirit talking to this morning? Who's he talking to today? The enemy's got you convinced. Not only that you don't belong in the presence of God, but that God's part of you. Coming. But you're marked for mercy. That pull upwards. Out of Cain came some things that changed forever. The reason we're playing these instruments this morning, and it's evolved to this, is because of the harp. Because of that first harp. And from that knowledge and that wisdom came from Cain's loins. God said, there's more in him to fulfill my plan. He's saying, I can't imagine. Listen. The enemy thought everything that you struggle with, your greatest struggle, is going to take you out. You see, God stepped in and said, no, you can't have it. You can't have it. She's shamed with me all across this place. Doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. See, God made it so simple. He said, you have to believe. And he gave everybody a measure of faith. Everyone's born with a measure of faith. Whether you believe it or not, you believe. If you believe that God's not real, you have faith in something.
Right.
That faith came from your Creator. But he said, if you'll take that faith and you'll believe that Jesus died, he rose so that you could be forgiven of your sins, and now he went back to the Father, seated on his right hand, being the forever intercessor, being your lawyer, your advocate on your behalf. That says the blood will never let you escape. Oh, hallelujah. That blood will never let you escape. He said, if you believe that and believe you're a sinner, confess your sins, you'll be saved. Make a confession with your mouth, then you'll be saved. It's that simple. And then from that point, you put your faith in everything that God has written and spoken in this blueprint for life, the Holy Scriptures. So if you're here today, that's who we want to talk to first. As they begin to worship and intercessors begin to pray. Can you say, I want to say yes. I believe, and I want to say yes to Jesus. I know that it's only because of mercy I'm here today. It's only because of mercy that I'm still standing. I want you to come. Come kneel at this altar. We'll pray with you. You say, I don't know how to pray. Somebody will help you. I will if nobody else will. Somebody will help you pray. Well, there's some that may be making that decision. If you're in here today, this message has touched your heart. You say, struggling with stuff. Maybe it's guilt, maybe it's shame. Maybe the enemy has told you it's never going to change, never going to be any different. You're unworthy. You feel like you can never go past where you are in your relationship with the Lord. I want you to know you're marked for mercy today. And that means you're being pulled upward. There's a pull up there. God is pulling you. You want to sit down with him. He wants to get out of your seat. Come on, I want to pray with you. Go ahead. Amen.